forecast, snow on Capitol Hill.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Treasury Secretary John Snow could face an avalanche of protests today. In a few hours, he'll be the lead witness at a congressional hearing on the president's $2.7 trillion budget proposal. He'll try to convince lawmakers the spending plan is a good start, not a disaster. It's already under attack from Democrats and special interest groups, teachers, farmers, doctors. Eric Kneeler has more from Washington.
President Bush says his budget will keep the country safe while slowing down entitlement programs like Medicare. But Democrats and even a few moderate Republicans want to know how the numbers add up. Montana Democrat Senator Kent Conrad says the budget won't reduce the deficit, which is pegged at $423 billion next year. He says the budget is irresponsible.
All of these are debts we're going to have to pay. And right now we're sort of living in a fantasy world in which we spend the money, we cut the taxes, none of it adds up, and nobody seems to worry about it.
Some Republican House members wish the president would reform pork barrel spending as well. With elections coming later this year, observers say Congress members will face tough choices or just wait until re-election. In Washington, I'm Eric Kneeler for Marketplace.
A lot of people are complaining about the nation's budget deficit, but Americans might want to take a closer look at their own budgets. Today, the Federal Reserve gives us its monthly report on consumer credit, and it's not going to be pretty. Looks like Americans added maybe another $5 billion in debt last month, thanks to all that holiday shopping. Today, the World Trade Organization hands down a key ruling on genetically modified foods, or GM foods. The U.S., Canada, and Argentina are angry at the European Union. They say Europe's refusal to import GM crops is irrational and bad for trade. Helen Palmer has more now from the health desk at WGBH.
Europeans distrust genetically modified food, calling it Frankenfood. EU rules say foods with GM ingredients must be labelled, and that's effectively kept them off store shelves. David Wasko of Friends of the Earth says Europeans should decide if they want biotech crops, not the World Trade Organization.
We just don't think that it's the right forum to decide what kind of food should be in the marketplace.
There are still safety questions about GM crops, says Wasko, and European delays are precautionary. But John Entine, author of the new book Let Them Eat Precaution, says Europe's reluctance helps keep GM foods out of developing countries where they could reduce hunger.
The people paying the price, besides major producers like the United States, Argentina, and Canada, will be the world's poor.
Genetically engineered crops are more nutritious, says Entine, but African countries that overwhelmingly trade with Europe distrust them too. In Boston, I'm Helen Palmer for Marketplace.
GM, the automaker, has decided to cut its dividend in half. Another sign of the company's troubles, it lost $8 billion last year. Toyota, on the other hand, well, it just made $4 billion in the last 3 months of 2005. Toyota credited U.S. sales, especially of its Prius hybrid. Wall Street was a bit indecisive Monday. The Dow finished up 4 points to 10,798. The S&P 500 climbed a point, but the Nasdaq fell 3 to 2258. Shares of Apple Computer continued their recent slide. This is Marketplace. The airlines may be cutting routes and downsizing, but the cruise ship business is only getting bigger. Royal Caribbean just ordered the largest, most expensive ship in history. Stacey Vanek-Smith reports.
Call it the mothership. Weighing in at 220,000 tons, Royal Caribbean's new boat will cost $1.25 billion. The cruise business has been going full steam ahead for the last decade. About 9 million Americans set sail last year. Industry expert Stuart Sheeran says that demand allows for bigger boats.
With 5,400 beds to fill on a weekly basis, it's a lot of pressure. But because of the continued increase in demand, the industry will absorb what this ship is going to be able to put out.
Part of the reason for the sea change is cost. Cruises use a lower-grade fuel and haven't had to jack up ticket prices to cover costly gas. Whereas fuel can account for up to half of the operating cost of a flight, it's less than 10% for cruise lines. I'm Stacey Vanek-Smith for Marketplace.
Which comes to you from American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. By Medtronic, celebrating National Heart Month by encouraging Americans to take action to reduce their risk of heart disease. Medtronic, on the web at Medtronic.com. and by LendingTree.com, where you can choose from up to 4 customized loan offers, 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. LendingTree.com.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow. Reduce Middle Eastern oil imports 75% within 2 decades. Invest more in renewable energy. That's President Bush's plan. The International Energy Agency says it's a welcome admission the U.S. is addicted to oil. But Saudi Arabia is clearly upset, saying the plan would wreck its ability to make new investments. Commentator Vijay Vaidheswaran says don't believe the addict or the pusher.
So should gas guzzlers across the land be trembling in their SUVs? Will the Saudis squeeze the oil markets? Could George Bush's hyper-green turn lead to an energy shock? Relax. OPEC is bluffing. Nobody can spot a bluff better than a bluffer. And the Saudis know very well that America's talk about ending oil addiction is hogwash. For a start, take Mr. Bush's misleading promise to cut Middle Eastern oil imports. Mr. Bush has not done anything serious to improve the fuel economy of cars, so our overall oil consumption will continue to grow. That means imports from other countries will simply make up any reduction in oil from OPEC. We'll get oil all right, but we'll have to pay for it. The price will be high because oil is a fungible global commodity. So a Saudi crisis would send the price of every barrel of oil in the world skyrocketing. But we won't have those green technologies in place that the president gushed about to cushion this blow. Plug-in hybrid cars, fuel cells, and even clean coal are quite promising. But Mr. Bush's energy plan will do little to get them to market. That's because his big idea is merely to throw a bit of subsidy over here and a dollop of pork over there. That will never cut it, given the tremendous unfair advantages enjoyed by oil and the internal combustion engine. What we need to do is level the energy playing field. Only an end to fossil fuel subsidies and regulations like caps on global warming gases will give clean technologies an honest chance against gasoline. But there was no sign of that in Mr. Bush's speech. In fact, his cabinet has been furiously backpedaling from his words. It seems the administration is still addicted to oil, and OPEC is just calling its bluff. There's also a selfish reason why the Saudis won't stop developing new oil fields. Only by investing can Saudi Arabia maintain a buffer of spare production capacity that allows it to be the swing producer on the world oil market. Double punch of economic and political power makes the Saudis the undisputed kingpins of OPEC. The truth is, America's oil lobby and Saudi Arabia's oil industry need each other desperately. Despite recent noises made by President Bush and OPEC, neither oilaholic looks ready to kick the habit.
Vijay Vaidheswaran covers energy for The Economist and comes to us by special arrangement with that magazine. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media. For years, he's been the outlaw shock jock.